Hello and good morning. It is 11:30 a.m. on Tuesday, March 1st, 2016. I am Deshaun Kavanaugh and you are listening to Around the Scenes, the talk show where we talk to professionals currently working in the film and television industry. That means producers, directors, writers, actors, production assistants, special effects artists, costumers, and many more, in an attempt to understand what really goes into these productions of entertainment. In front, behind, and all around the scenes. Today in the studio, I have the brilliant Corey Dawson, an award-nominated short film writer, director, and producer. How are you doing today, Corey?
I'm really well, thanks, mate. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for being here today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Now, Corey, if you don't mind, could you give us a little background on where you're from?
For sure. I'm from Melbourne, Australia. If anyone can point that out to me on a globe, I'd be really appreciative.
Yeah, I'd be really impressed as well.
Yeah, so Melbourne is in the lower end of Australia, so it's in the south east.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a really small population. I just found out recently that there's more people in Los Angeles than there are in the entire continent of Australia.
Wow.
Yeah, so that kind of blew me away. Melbourne, it's a nice little social scene, like that you can go to a lot of places to get coffee, like really good coffee, mm-hmm. cafes, really nice food, like a lot of shopping happens there, certainly more so than Sydney. Like I know Oprah Winfrey on her last trip to Australia went to Melbourne to go shopping, things like that. So it's a really nice social hub.
Right, okay. And you guys have McDonald's there, right?
Oh, absolutely. We call it Macca's.
Yeah, Macca's, yeah.
Macca's, not Macca's.
Oh, sorry about that. Okay, so how did you find your passion for the film and television industry in Australia? Like, where did you start off?
Oh, wow. My father, growing up, he wasn't so much into, like, Thomas the Tank Engine or things like that. Like, that was never an option.
Mm-hmm.
I pretty much just had to raid his film collection, and in there were things like Pulp Fiction,
mm-hmm.
The Shining, Kill Bill,
okay.
A Clockwork Orange, and, like, all these really adulty, like, not suitable for kids films. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to watch these. And then I'm like, okay, wow, there's actually some really good storytelling here. And that's how I was really like, okay, I really want to be a filmmaker, because if there's people like out there in the world who can produce films like those, why can't I be one? And so it became like a tradition for me to watch like Quentin Tarantino films, Martin Scorsese films, and things like that. So that's how I wanted to become a filmmaker.
That's awesome. So I know you've spent a lot of time on set, obviously, being a director, producer, and writer. Do you remember your first experience on set?
Ooh. Yeah, absolutely. My first time on set, I was probably a young kid. I want to say about 10, 12
okay.
or so. And I was a production assistant on an Australian TV show called Coxie's Big Break.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's this man who, it's like a caravan show. And he was talking about camping gear and tents and barbecues and things like that. And that was my first time on set as a production assistant at 12. And my neighbor got me onto that gig, actually, because for like the last few years I said, I want to be a filmmaker. And he's like, well, I know this production show because I do things for caravans. Why don't you come on and you can learn a little bit? And I'm like, sweet. So I got on the set that way, and then I went into acting school. And then I found out, okay, I can be on set as an actor now.
Right, right.
Things like that, yeah.
So you really started getting into the industry as a young boy.
Oh, yeah, definitely from, like, a really young age. It's all about who you know. That's how I started getting on there.
That's what they say. It's not what you know, it's who you know.
Exactly.
Okay, right along with that, what were some of the earlier projects you worked on as a production assistant or even other things?
Oh, wow, okay. In Australia, things that I did on set with things like, yeah, production assistant on Coxie's Big Break. I edited for a show called MasterChef, another show called What's Up Down Under. Then I did videography for like a lot of other smaller productions. And it was only when I started doing my short films when I was about 15 years old. I was in year 10 media in high school. It's a subject like film studies. I'm not sure if it happens here in America. But our first project was you had to do a horror short film, like, and release it in October. And so, yeah, I wrote and directed this really, really small horror film, literally set in the entirety of my friend's shed in his backyard, because, like, it was filled with cobwebs and spiders. And like it freaked me out, man. Like
yeah.
it was terrifying. And I'm like, can I film in your back shed? Like if I die, like we could film it and like it'll be a good horror film. And so yeah, it was just some high school friends. We filmed it, and yeah, it was my first short film.
And it went pretty well, obviously.
Yeah, I got like an A+ highest grade in my class in media. I was happy.
That's awesome. Okay, so right along with that, back in the early days, what were some of the challenges of your career?
Oh, wow. Particularly finding suitable actors, because in Australia, there's not many people who actually want to be in the film industry or want to be a filmmaker or an actor because they want to be realistic in their lives. They're like, you know, there's not much work in the film industry. So most people go into like banking or lawyering, like those sort of career opportunities. And so it was really me just finding suitable actors because there weren't that many. And so I was frequently using my friends and things like that, and they didn't know how to act. And so like a lot of the dialogue delivery was really wooden and things like that. And it's just like, I'm not really happy with that.
Right. Okay. So who are some of your big motivators or, you know, idols? They don't have to be famous, but they could be.
Okay. Quentin Tarantino, certainly. Martin Scorsese.
Mm-hmm.
And David Fincher, like I am, like Fight Club, Seven, Social Network, like that is really well done films. Particularly his 2007 film Zodiac, like that is just iconic in the way where every single element is just perfected. Like he can do 100 takes per shot just until he gets what he wants. He's like a modern day Kubrick, and so Fincher, he's got such an eye for absolutely everything, and he's the only person who can do anyone's jobs better on set himself.
Right. And it's his attention to details.
Exactly.
Right. That's what you really look up to. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Being a writer, director, and a producer is, I'm sure, a difficult task doing all three, and you have to learn how to do each individually. If you had to pick only one of them, which would you pick and why?
Easily writing.
Okay.
And I do it nightly just because it's such a phenomenal feeling creating life. When you're writing a character, you're not just writing something on a piece of paper, you're creating life, and that person then fits into a world that you create, and you're like God. You can create whatever opportunities you want them to have in that world that you've created. And the more characters I create, I've created essentially a nice little family and a group of friends who are happy or sad in this world that you've created, and you determine who they are and what they do and the outcomes of their life. And it's so rewarding. It feels like you've essentially not had a kid yourself, but you've created life, and that's a story that needs telling.
That's awesome. What are some of the highlights in your career so far?
Last year in August, I directed a short film on a really small budget of $400.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't directed anything for about 18 months at that stage, and a guy who, he read a script I had written before, and he came up to me, he's like, so how come you haven't done anything lately? It's just because I hadn't been interested at that stage. I was just wanting to write and practice my writing and get that perfected. And he's like, well, if I pay for you to do your next film, will you let me act in it and just do something, because you're too talented not to do it? I was like, mate, I'm not talented. It's just what I enjoy doing. And so he gave me $400 and said, let's make a short film. And what happened, I got a Sons of Anarchy actor on board, and we basically filmed it in our backyard. And it went real guerrilla style too. Like, I got a permit to shoot in a park.
Mm-hmm.
And the day we were set to shoot was the worst day in Melbourne's history in 10 years. Like,
okay.
Like the weather was rainy. It got to like 38 degrees Fahrenheit.
Mm.
And I was like, I don't want to put my actors and crew through this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're going to get sick. We're going to break equipment with the rain. It's just, it's not a smart move to shoot. So I said, okay, let's push filming back a week. So yeah, we arrived the next Saturday and the gates are closed to this park. And I'm like, hang on a second, that's not right. I've got a permit.
Right.
So I call up the city council and I'm like, hey, can you get someone to come down here and open up the gate, or is there any way we can get in? And they said, oh no, sorry, your permit's actually expired. Like, what do you mean expired? We paid for a permit. Can we please film? And they said, yeah, you can file for a new permit, but that'll take 6 to 8 weeks. And my cinematographer's like, I have a bright idea. let's get in the car and figure out a way to get through the gate. So we do, and 10 minutes later, like, the park rangers come and the sheriffs, and they say, yeah, you got to pack up and get out. Mm-hmm. So we pack everything up and we get in the convoy. And as the director, I'm like, okay, I need to figure out a way to get this many people to a new location quickly. Mm-hmm. So it happens, and then the black magic camera dies when we get to the second location. And then, like, we just have to use, like, DSLRs that everyone brought. So we're shooting on different DSLRs. And they weren't compatible with the screen monitor. So, like, we couldn't see what we were shooting.
Yeah.
Like, and, like, because it's Australia, like, it's really hot and there was the sun. Mm-hmm. So the glare was on, like the really small DSLR monitors. So we really could not see what we were shooting. We didn't know if anything was overexposed or what the images looked like. We're just kind of going by a whim. And so at the end of the day, we get it in the can. And also, my first assistant director canceled that day. They were sick.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And so I think I got that phone call at about 6 in the morning, like an hour before set time. And so we had to have the second camera assistant act as the first assistant director. Mm-hmm. And she'd never done that before in her life. And so she kept coming up to me like, oh, you're running out of time. So she was like making me freak out, thinking that like I was running out of time. So I'm rushing all of these shots, just trying to get it like together. And then we had like a 3-hour break. Right. So I'm like, I looked at her, I'm like, didn't you say we're running out of time? She goes, oh yeah, I'm sorry. I'm like, it's fine now. We just got like 3 hours to kill. Right. And so yeah, we went through all of this like tough process, and I edited it. I sent it to a composer, and yeah, he made a really, really, really good score, and it made the film complete. And I released it, and it didn't get the reception I was hoping it would. Like, I knew it was going to be polarizing on the fact where you really have to concentrate on the storyline. But I didn't realize audience members didn't want to think that much. They just wanted to have their story spoon-fed to them.
Right.
And I didn't deliver that. And so it got a little bit panned. And I'm like, okay, I can accept that. I knew it would be. And then a week later, I'm standing in the supermarket. Mm-hmm. And my phone rings. And I'm like, hello. I say, yeah, this is Warner Brothers Studios. I'm like, yeah, no, who's this really? I'm like, it's Warner Brothers Studios. And I'm like, oh, hey. And I said, yeah, we want to let you know we've chosen your short film to play in a film festival called Fright Night in Queensland, and we've named it as one of the 5 top films of the year for Australia, and like it's going to play in cinemas all month long, like throughout October, and yeah, it's going to be a part of history sort of thing because this is the first time we're running this, and yeah, and like we'll pay for your business flight, it's like up to this state of Queensland, mm-hmm. sort of thing, and you can be a part of the festivities. So towards the end of the month at the finale, I fly business class up to Queensland, and I find out I'm the youngest director there with a film. So like, out of the 5 films chosen, mm-hmm. like the other directors were like in their 60s or 40s and 50s, mm-hmm. and like media teachers or experienced directors, and here I am, this like 21-year-old independent filmmaker sort of thing. So I got nominated for like best director and best writer for that.
That's awesome.
And I couldn't believe it. It's just like, this is the film no one liked that put me through so much pain.
Right.
Really? So that for me is probably my happiest achievement, is just something that caused me so much grief has been so universally accepted.
Right.
Like, it wasn't accepted by my friends, but it was by the world. And it's actually sitting on a 9.3 on IMDb now.
Wow.
Like last year when it was released in Australia, it was like on an 8.7, I think.
Okay.
And then now, since coming to Los Angeles, it's bumped up to a 9.0, 9.1, 9.2, 9.3.
Congratulations.
And like, yeah, it's now ranked in the top 800 in the world.
Yeah. Wow. And when you were explaining all the challenges of creating that project and how you had to be so adaptive and like stay on your feet because, you know, people weren't showing up, you had no idea that in the end, Warner Brothers would be calling you in a supermarket, isn't it? I think it's just amazing how that happens.
I remember when I accepted that phone call, I started crying in the milk section. Like, I was buying milk, and I broke down. I think I kneeled down on, like, the really new polished tile, and I started crying, and, like, there was, like, this really old lady, like, in the egg section, and she was just looking at me like, who's this guy crying in the supermarket?
Right.
Thing. And I was crying as I was going to the checkout, and, like, the girl was really cute, too, and I was trying to be like, I'm so happy. So I'm like, can I have your number? And she's like, no. I'm like, okay. And I walked out just crying.
Yeah, okay. So that kind of leads into my next question. Can you explain to us what a young kid from Melbourne, Australia is doing out here in the City of Angels?
Yeah, absolutely. I came here completely spontaneously. It was a 48-hour decision. I released my short film, and I'm like, okay, how am I going to follow that up? Mm-hmm. And I had all these different ideas, and it's just like, okay, I've got to narrow them down to the best one, because if I follow it up with something that's not as good, it might make me look worse. I got to be on par, if not better.
Right.
And I came up with an idea about a homeless story, because I've been homeless myself before, and it's just like, this is a story that really needs to be told, because there's not a lot of people out there who really know the true events that can happen on the streets. And so I wrote this story, and Andy McPhee, who he's an actor from Sons of Anarchy, he was in my last short film, and he volunteered. He's like, hey, I'll do that for you for free. I'm like, wow, thank you so much. And I then got another job, and I couldn't commit to the film because I was so busy. And he's like, okay, well, my actor, Andy McPhee, was like, I can't commit to this anymore. I'm moving to Los Angeles again, because he lives here in Los Angeles. He's like, I can't do it. I'll film it in Los Angeles for you if you like, and send you the footage for your film. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I really wouldn't. And then I think a few days later, I found out at work there was the possibility I was going to lose my job because they had too many people on the payroll. And so like, they were really big on hiring 16-year-olds because like, they're cheaper sort of thing. Like I cost twice as much. And so to me, they were just like, we don't mind losing you. And so I'm like, okay, I've never not had a job before, so I need to have a backup plan. Mm-hmm. And I thought about the possibility of coming to Los Angeles maybe towards the end of this year. It was just an idea. And I told this to my Sons of Anarchy friend, and he's like, well, why don't you come and live with me? Like, I've got a spare room. Mm-hmm. I'll charge you cheap rent. Just come and just be out here in Los Angeles. Like, you'll really flourish. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think about that too much. I'm just like, okay, yes. How many people have this opportunity?
Right.
Like, his son, Cody, is the new Nightcrawler in X-Men.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And, like, he this actor wants to take me under his wing to introduce me to people. And it's like, I can't be in a town where no one's a filmmaker, no one really achieves that much, because it's a small group of people who they only do films for themselves. Mm-hmm. But this guy wants to take a chance on me and have me come to Los Angeles. I'm just like, yeah, I'm coming. So I've been here like 3 or 4 weeks now.
Okay, wow. How do you like LA?
I don't like the drivers.
Yeah, you're telling me.
Like, the highway's a bit intense.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know how to use a turn signal. Or
yep, that's true.
They don't know which turn off is theirs, so they just kind of they sit in the middle of the lane and just try to decide last minute. Oh, it's chaotic. I don't like that. But the city itself is beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
you can go anywhere and you see something beautiful.
That's the truth. Being somebody who also recently moved here, the roads and the scenery are the two things that are just highest in intensity in this place.
Like, I don't know about you, but whenever I drive past the Hollywood sign, I just look at it and be like, I've made it.
Right.
I might not be in a mansion with like Playboy models or anything.
Not yet. Not yet.
Man, I don't want that. I'm happy being on a couch eating 2-minute noodles, just as long as I'm making films. Right. But whenever I see that Hollywood sign, for me, that just, it subconsciously just gives me that sense of hope.
Yeah.
Like, I've made it, but there's more potential.
Right on, man. So what have you been up to while being here, and how is the industry different here than it is in Australia?
Oh, wow. Okay. Two different questions in one.
Yeah.
All right. Let's knock this out.
Let's do it.
What was the first part again? Sorry.
So the first part is, what have you been up to while being here, which you kind of answered in the last question, and then which will lead into how the industry is different here than Australia.
What I've been up to is I've just been doing an awful lot of writing. Mm-hmm. I finished writing a short film script last week.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Audition. It was going to be just me and a bunch of friends filming on our gear just to get something out there to say, hey, we're here in Los Angeles because we need to put ourselves out there. And I was watching a lot of Entourage, and I was just like, I can do something like that. So it's about this actor who thinks he's larger than life, and he's trying to get ready for an audition in his pool area at his apartment block. And the casting director of the film basically stops him, sort of thing, because he's like this, you don't know who I am, I'm the greatest actor in the world, sort of thing. And Diva. This casting director's like, yeah, I'm casting your film. I've also been writing a documentary called Going to California. It's about my experience coming to Los Angeles and the Australian experience here. I'm also writing a feature film for Sherry Garn. She's the teacher, principal at Whitney Elementary School in Las Vegas. It's the biggest homeless school in the world. In America.
Wow.
And yeah, we're trying to get her story told. And I'm also writing a TV series at the moment called Hunt. And it's very similar to No Country for Old Men and The Purge.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pitching that to a studio later this week. And the producer is it's the biggest online media platform in the world. They get 70 million hits a month.
Wow.
And they just acquired a platform similar to Netflix, but don't have original content yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've approached me and said, "We'd like you to do something for us." So I have that meeting later this week.
Wow. Well, we wish you luck here.
Thank you.
In the studio.
And I've noticed Los Angeles is really different to the fact where Australia is just a small group of friends who they put a lot of money into making films just to show to themselves and their friends. It doesn't really get noticed. Whereas here, everyone takes film more seriously. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, you mean in Australia, it's more like a small family, right?
Yeah, it's a lot like The Godfather. Like, you've got the one Don who agrees to do certain films, and then it only gets seen amongst them. So it's really of a nothing sort of culture.
Okay. I know from looking on your IMDb account, but do you have any personal quotes that you like to live by?
Absolutely. I want to change the world one frame at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And the cinema is in my blood, and my blood is in the cinema.
Right on. Okay, one more quick question. What would be your advice to a young aspiring filmmaker?
Just do it. Like, if you have an iPhone, you can have a camera right there. Get your friends together. If you think you've got a cool story, what's stopping you from going out and filming that? Like, just do it. That's all I can say. Just do it. Just absolutely do it.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today, Corey.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. That's all we've got for you today, folks. If our listeners back at home want to contact you, do you have a website or a social media link you could give out so that we can contact you?
Absolutely. If any of your listeners want headshots or self-tapes, posters, graphic designs, I do it all. Just look at Corz and Effect Films on Facebook. That's CORZ/EFFECT Films, FILMS. Just Facebook that or Corey Michael Dawson, and I'll get in contact with you.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Corey. All right, folks, we've gotten to the end of our show here. I'm going to go get some lunch. I suggest that all of you do the same. And stay tuned for more KPC Radio at kpcradio.com. I'm your host, Deshaun Kavanaugh. You've been listening to Around the Scenes, taking a look in front, behind, and around the scenes of the film and television industry. Thanks for being here with us for our first live show today. We'll be here the same time, same place next week. Thanks for listening, guys.
And that was Deshaun Kavanaugh for Around the Scenes on kpcradio.com.